T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, hour number 3, The Tara Show. President's Day. Ingalls Advantage call-in number 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. And that is my impersonation of Joe Piscopo for the afternoon. I see everybody really, well, not everybody. I don't know. I see everybody in the news anyway, really jacked up over coronavirus. Let's us look at coronavirus. First of all, do you remember SARS virus? Remember that SARS virus thing? SARS virus, in the United States, there were 75 cases and 0 deaths, SARS virus. Now, I just came back from SHOT Show, where there was plenty, SHOT Show in Las Vegas, where there was plenty of Asians there and plenty of other stuff. But you got to remember something. I flew on 4 different airplanes, and then I went to a place where there was 70,000 people. So I was exposed to a whole bunch of stuff, a bunch of different disease vectors. And even with all of that intensity occurring over the course of a week, I was not exposed to nearly as many disease vectors as you would find in China. But according to worldometers.info/coronavirus, as of today, there are 71,444 cases of coronavirus worldwide. Of that, there has been 1,776 deaths worldwide. There are 58,251 currently infected patients. These would be people, I would think, in China that are, or on cruise ships that are currently in quarantine. There have been 11,417 recovered, 13,193 closed cases. Of those cases, by country, now remember how many cases I told you. I'll remind you one more time. 71,444. Of those cases in China, total cases, 70,553. Hmm. 2,053 new cases, total deaths 1,771 in China, new deaths plus 106, total recovered in China 11,263, serious critical 11,272. Let's go down to the USA. Number of cases, actual confirmed cases of coronavirus in the United States, 15. See, SARS was a lot like this. The SARS virus, I think there was 7,700 cases and 6,500 of them were in China and Hong Kong. I think it's very important for media to find you a boogeyman all the time. And I think the hope, there's a lot of people saying coronavirus is going to be Trump's Katrina. Not with 15 cases and 0 deaths, you know, leftist media. No, that's just not that way. If you look at the numbers, most of them are happening in Asia. China has the biggest number. Cruise ships have the second biggest number. Then Singapore, Japan, Hong Kong, Thailand, South Korea, Malaysia, Taiwan. Then we get to Europe, Germany. Then comes Vietnam, USA, Australia, French, Macau. Let's say UAE, UK, Canada, Philippines, India, Italy, Russia, Spain, Belgium, Sri Lanka, Finland, Egypt, Cambodia, Sweden, Nepal. One case in Nepal. Lots of places. Only one case. From Belgium down, one case. So what does this tell you about coronavirus? Well, coronavirus came from, you know, the apparently landmass zero is Wuhan, which is a province in or area in China. And you got to remember some things about China. First of all, China I don't know what the exact population is, but you're surrounded by disease vectors all around you, namely people. In China, you know how you, like, you'll go to a grocery store today and there'll be a little wipe that you can wipe your hands with, or maybe you carry your own, you know, hand sanitizer or something. People are always wiping their hands, much more so than they did when I was a child. Everybody's doing that. They have hand wipe stations, hand sanitizer stations, hand, you know, just everything, no matter what you touch, whichever surface. In China, they don't have that. They'll sneeze right in your face in China. They'll just do that. Some of the stuff they do, the level of hygiene in China is right up there with San Francisco's. Right up there with it. Which, you know, San Francisco and L.A. are now the pestilence center of the United States. So why all this hoopla over coronavirus? You got 70,000 cases out of what, 7 billion people? Anything that kills people prematurely, I always find that wrong. But I mean, when I came back, from Las Vegas, I was deathly ill. And I went to the doctor and they said I had the flu. And this year we'll lose 83,000 people to the flu. To the flu. Now, I know that's not sexy or cool or any of that other stuff, but I mean, listen, let's, some of these things that I see that they try to get us all jacked up about sometimes just feel like a little bit of a distraction. Although I hardly think, for all of these cases we keep hearing about people being flown back and all these other places, unless you are probably getting around a person that was in Wuhan, because even the new cases in China are beginning to drop. Just like, you know, SARS virus was supposed to be the killer. H1N1, killer. Swine flu, killer. And then they just vanished. SARS just vanished. I think there were 770 deaths. 650 of them were in China and Hong Kong as well. And then just vanished. So what does that mean? Does it mutate itself away? What happens to it? Certainly not the virus or any sort of inoculation, because it happens so quick that there's just not time to do it. They're still in the research part of it. I don't know if with a flu shot nowadays, if they're giving you a cocktail of all kinds of stuff to try to fight all of these various little offshoots of this. But it really just boils down, people, to the hygiene of the country, the culture of the country, right? What the societal norms as practiced in China apparently breed viruses. And apparently there's no end in sight as to the various names we're going to have. But one thing you'll notice is they always seem to vanish. They always seem to vanish. So while you're looking at the coronavirus thing, I get it. But I'm not worried about it. I just had the flu. Hear me roar. We'll be right back. This is 106.3 WORD.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. One thing I neglected to mention is that's all based on information coming out of China. Which, if we are to believe everything coming out of China, then right over here to your right, price to sell today, I have the Golden Gate Bridge. Let's move on. Norms and rules and values and principles are very, very important until the moment they create an obstacle to the people babbling about norms and rules and values and principles. And then the norms and rules and values and principles stop being important, much less super important. And in the case of free speech, these much less, you know, these norms and rules and values and principles become affirmatively racist and all the other bad things that these social justice warriors call things. We discuss free speech as well as the cute little lib rhetorical trick of presenting you with a false non-choice, and then it annoys stupid people. So this week, some dirty leftist Congress freak from near where, you know, near Silicon Valley got the sads because someone said something he didn't like on Twitter. Representative Ro Khanna, I'm not making up that name. Ro Khanna wrote this: Twitter must take this misleading video about at Speaker Pelosi down now. This is the one where she was tearing up the, you know, State of the Union speech. That was misleading. Social media platforms now are where a lot of people go for news and information. They need to have certain standards. Falsity has never been part of our First Amendment tradition. Let's address that bizarre notion that falsity has never been part of our First Amendment tradition. I'm a little bit familiar with that particular amendment, you know. You can review the text, and nowhere in the text is truth. In fact, falsity is essential to the First Amendment for the obvious reason that the fascist hacks like Khanna would simply declare all dissent false and therefore unprotected given the chance, which means you're dumb enough to listen to a leftist hack like Khanna about the Second Amendment as well. And guys like this NorCal Goebbels will huff and puff with excuses to try to pretty up their shabby censorship gambit, pretending that they seek only to protect us peasants from the objective falsehoods. So I'll make Ro Khanna a deal. We can totally censor falsity on social media, except that the guy who determines falsity is going to be me. I get to be the censor. Behold me, Bill Frady, Internet Truth Avenger! That shouldn't worry Ro Khanna, because this is a totally objective process, right? It really does not matter who's doing the deciding. It's not a partisan thing. I mean, yeah, I'm a hardcore conservative, but I'll always make a purely objective decision about what you can and can't hear said. Cross my heart. Totally cool, right? Ro, you seem strangely reluctant to allow me the power to decide what people can and cannot hear. I don't get it. I thought it was easy to decide what falsity is. So why are you hesitating? Oh, I get it. Are you saying you don't want a hardcore conservative deciding what thoughts can be disseminated? Do you think I might use that power to suppress ideas I disagree with? You have a better choice. You're going to be the one deciding it. I get it. Okay, seems reasonable. I'm cool with all that because no leftist has ever tried to suppress free thought except for every single time leftists get a chance to. And I'm sure you'll totally ensure our free speech is unhindered. Unrelated, buy guns and ammo. People, life is about choices. For instance, some people choose to be morons. And that's how we get socialists. But I'm talking about policy here. When you enact a policy, you make choices between other alternatives. And hopefully you weigh the costs and benefits. But what we see with the left is a scam in which they pretend choices are not actually choices. And their pinko commie scheme is the only possible option. And here's another example. Some on Twitter, some blue check goofus said something to the effect that Trump's wall threatens vital cultural monuments. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? Bad. Now, the unspoken understanding is that we are supposed to gasp in horror and demand the bad orange man cease constructing his infernal bad concrete wall because of feelings. But then you look closer. Turns out there may be some dead Indians buried nearby. The blue check wheeled out some rep of some tribe to complain about it. So, I'm not saying it's a good thing to dig up cemeteries as a rule, but though there is no cemetery here, you know, where are they? But if you forbade building near where a human has been entombed over the ages, that leaves about zero places to build, which is the idea, because we don't need single-family homes. So we're presented with a choice. Assuming the whole poltergeist scenario stuff is true, we are not compelled to shrug and not desecrate this sacred patch of dirt by building on it and leaving it to be desecrated by the northerly mobile illegal aliens. Sometimes you have to pick a priority. And my vote would be with enforcing the border. And I do get a vote. And you get a vote. And this sort of ploy is not some sort of magical Trump card that negates my say in how we govern ourselves. But inevitably, the end result of the moral obligation not to have a choice is to choose what the leftists want. So you see that about the climate change hoax and the other leftist obsessions. Why we can't have cars because unspecified bad stuff will happen in some unspecified time. And I say, I keep my SUV, my Ford Explorer, and we let Obama's new waterfront Martha's Vineyard mansion get flooded. I'm liking it. But it's weird because the one doesn't really seem worried about waking up with the Atlantic lapping at his platform bed. He's made his choice. I say, choose not to play their game. Choose not to care what they say. That is absolute freedom when you learn how not to care. And I like my freedom. These are the same people that will tell you. Well, first of all, the United States last year had the lowest, we had the biggest cutback in CO2 emissions out there. Greta Thunberg needs to go to Wuhan and protest there because they don't worry about CO2. She needs to go to Mumbai and protest there because they don't worry about CO2. She does not need to come to us and tell us what we don't need to do. Bernie Sanders is out there pushing the climate change thing, flying on private jets. He would tell you, well, that's because I'd cause such a furor if I got on regular. Yeah, sure. Sure, buddy. Sure, I get you. See what I'm saying? The stupid people out there think you're going to listen to them without hesitation, without question. The problem becomes not employing critical thinking. And the easiest critical thinking is to look at Barack Obama, look at where he's at now, where he's living at Martha's Vineyard, and say to yourself, I thought that was going to be underwater, Barack. He obviously doesn't believe that. I don't think he can't obviously believe that, can he? Critical thinking, it just tears him up. In the meantime, for those of you that do want to vote for me, I'm running for social media censor. Vote Bill Frady, 2020. Social media censor. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about something that happened in Thailand, just because the gun controllers, you know, they heart them some Thailand. We'll be right back. This is 106.3 WORD. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Good point on the text line. New Orleans is 14 feet underwater. Miami is sinking. Maybe we should stop building on soft spots or below. See, this is the thing. When people are building places, cities, whatever, and you're out there saying, and we have to do this to and make sure that we exist in the best of circumstances for now and ever, eventually that's going to fail. And it's going to be a disaster. And it's going to be because you put the city there, or the town, or the village, whatever you want to call it. Foresight comes into play. But anyway, I digress. As a Second Amendment advocate, I am told on a constant basis that I am the cause of all these people being killed. My advocacy, my right to an assault weapon causes all this stuff. And nowhere is it like it is in the United States. Nowhere has this kind of thing happened like it happens in the United States. And then you see us, you know, you look out there and you look at the, you know, you look beyond the legacy fake stream media headlines and you look at world news and you see something. Thai gunman who killed 26 in Rampage shot dead at mall. This guy actually shot 81 people. Wounded 57. This is a soldier. Now, don't get me wrong. Thailand is not what you would call awash in civilian gun ownership, as far as I know. But here we have a soldier who's one of the only ones. Here in the United States, we're told only soldiers should have these things. And he got angry over a financial dispute. A financial dispute. Would that be like when I went to Best Buy and I was like, look, this is not what I wanted. Well, you didn't buy this warranty, so I got to keep it? This is a financial dispute. Maybe. Okay, fine, thanks. Now, as a gun owner, I just walked out of there without going, you know, crazy. But this is supposed to happen all the time here in the United States, which it doesn't. It doesn't. It took police sharpshooters in Thailand 16 hours to take this guy out. And in the interim, for that 16 hours, all of the shoppers in the mall. Malls are soft targets, people. Now, since you don't exist in Thailand, you should probably carry a gun everywhere you can go. Because this guy was shooting at a bunch of unarmed people, or as I call them, fish in a barrel. He was on TV. They had him on television. They showed him carrying what appeared to be dun, 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 an assault rifle. And this was not a new thing. This was the second high-profile mall shooting in Thailand in a month. The prior one committed by a masked school director carrying a handgun with a silencer who killed three people, including a two-year-old boy, and wounded four others as he robbed a jewelry store. As the anti-gunners would say, here, when such atrocities are committed, something must be done. Now, in the cases of the Thai mall shooters, something has been done, including everything Democrat politicians and gun grab groups have been loudly demanding to be imposed on a state and national level. Thailand's already got it all. Gunpolicy.org states the regulation of guns in Thailand is categorized as restrictive. Now, gunpolicy.org is a globalist citizen disarmament interest and in being bankrolled by a lot of these type organizations like the UN, but it doesn't invalidate the reporting of restrictions, all backed with extensive source citations. And it makes using the documentation bulletproof from challenges by the antis because we're using their data. We're using the data they put out. If you want a handgun or a rifle or shotgun, citizens have to overcome several prior restraints, including satisfying the government that they have a genuine reason for the license. They need to pass a universal background check that includes income among its considerations. And like gun control here, poor citizens are the most affected. And they're the red flag disqualifiers like domestic violence, where a past history or apprehended likelihood of family violence exists. The law in Thailand stipulates that a gun license should be denied or revoked. In Thailand, the law requires that a record of the acquisition, possession, and transfer of each privately held firearm be retained in an official register. And they also found out that Thailand has storage laws and transit laws. Storage laws are one of the most insidious things ever come up with because a storage law, which means safe storage, in order for safe storage to work, they have to be able to enforce that. In order for them to be able to enforce that, that means once that's passed, they can come to your house. If you are a registered gun owner, they can come to your house unannounced without a warrant and make sure that you have them safely stored based on their criteria. Some of the safe storage laws, for example, in California, are such that you have to have the gun separate from the ammo, which makes both just paperweights. And ammo without a gun I don't know. I guess if you wanted to pour a little cooking oil into a pan and drop it in there and be like Bruce Willis in Red, you could get some pop, pop, pops. But they're not bullets at that point. They're just little explosives. Now, leave it to the media to present Thailand as a wash with easily obtainable firearms, featuring one of the highest gun homicide rates in Asia. And to back that up, they cite the U.S. State Department's Bureau for Diplomatic Security wrote in 2013 safety report for overseas staff, Thailand has a fervent gun culture on par with the United States, has become a world leader in firearms-related homicides. Oh, well, let's just give them their own data. That just makes me happy. Just wanted to throw that out there. We'll be right back. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, me and Mrs. Jones. Okay. For that sexy radio voice. Back on with the smoking jacket. Now little Remy Martin, perhaps. As I go all in on this texture here. Ingles Advantage Talk Line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. I get this on the text line. Maybe if you people cared more about saving lives than your gun rights, something could be done. You can't regulate morality, but you can use common sense. And they continue. In South Carolina, if you want to adopt or foster kids, you have to separate the guns and the ammo, FYI. First of all, I love the separation between me and you where I'm one of you people. You don't even, if you live in the upstate of South Carolina and you go to the mall, chances are you're surrounded by guns, by concealed carriers. The other bad thing for those that would separate us people from those people is the majority of adults in the United States today own guns. And there's 460 million guns in the United States today, minimum. And yet we only have 367 per 100,000 in violent crime. We have 367 violent crimes per 100,000 versus Britain, which has 2,112. Now, the part where, and I know about the part where if you want to adopt or foster kids, you have to separate the guns and the ammo. I get that part. And that's a part that should be changed. Because the overwhelming stat that is out there today is that gun owners are more law-abiding than anybody else in the United States. A law-abiding person is a righteous person. A person that gives a good example to young people that might need to be fostered or adopted. Being out there and being in a position to defend yourself instead of wait, if you are out there and you're like, well, the police are there to take care of you. Well, you're calling somebody that has a gun. That's what you're doing. And then you're waiting for 11.11 minutes for that person to show up. And then that precious child that you may have, which I have two, and I have grandchildren, and I have all kinds of other things, then I'm probably going to be putting them in a position where, at the very least, I'm diminished. At the very least. So do not take it upon yourself to lecture me about you people. You're an ostrich, and you're sticking your head in the sand. And what's up in the air when your head's in the sand? The other question I was asked is how I would have reacted to Virginia, to the gun laws in Virginia if I lived in Virginia. If I had voted in the election and I was part of the 40% that did vote and the 60% that didn't care to vote, I just move. And now I'm being asked if you couldn't move. Why wouldn't I be able to move? What is it that, you know, would keep me from moving? Ask how this works in California, where they're moving. In New York, where they're moving. People do it all the time. The other thing about these people that always seem to be slamming gun owners as you people, you're the same kind of person that during Hurricane Sandy in New Jersey, right? You were looking for the people that had guns in those New Jersey neighborhoods because they were going door to door kicking in doors. There were no cops there. There were no cops there. They pulled back because guess what? In natural disasters, cops are not some superhuman guy that flies around and says, all right, now we're going to hold back the dam and make sure the jetty is put together and make sure the dam is held together. Let me catch that airline as it falls. That's not what cops are. Cops are like you, except they get in a car with a certain paint scheme. They wear a certain amount of clothes. They carry a bunch of stuff with them. They have more knowledge about certain things than you do. And then they go out and they do the job. But me getting out there and owning guns does not kill anybody. 51% of all homicide happens in 2% of the counties in the United States. Every one of those counties are run by Democrats. 84% of all gun violence, as they term it, is drug-related. So, if I'm a drug pusher, I'm actually one of those people that is causing people to die. If I'm a gangbanger, I'm actually one of those people that is causing people to die. The problem is that some of those people that get out here and look at me and call me you people, they're not looking at the grand scheme of things. Because these are the people that would go to a young black mother in the hospital giving birth to their third child saying, don't get married, don't get a job. And then that mother becomes a crackhead or something. This is inner city stuff. This is inner city stuff. And then the child is growing up and, you know, no parents, no nothing, looking for love because that's what children want. They want love. They want acceptance. They want protection. And guess where they can find it? In a gang. In a Democratic-held bastion. So, you know. I love it when people get out there and want to differentiate me as if somehow by me getting out there and looking at the Constitution and having gone out and put on the uniform and defended it and gave my entire youth to this country to defend it, they want to call me one of those people. Feel free. I see which part of your anatomy is sticking up with your head in the sand, ostrich. And the only problem is it doesn't hurt me for you to get out there and dislike me. This is part of my day. But you getting out there and thinking that this is this and that is that, in that moment when the reality hits you, it hits you between the eyes. Please don't find yourself in that position. Final hour coming up. President's Day. This is the Terror Show. We'll be right back. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.